Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Appreciate every time that I've had the opportunity to be here is listening to Ron's music, and I had the additional pleasure this morning of appreciating Ron's patience as he tried to work with a synthesizer that didn't work after putting so much effort into planning this particular piece of music. Thank you, Ron. Thank you very much. I hesitated before I chose to speak on this particular subject this morning because I know how much of our lives today are filled with concerns of all kinds. And did I want to add still another? And yet my whole faith is based upon lack of denial, of opening to what is, and knowing that having done this, we can find what we need to find of worth in our lives. And to notice the importance of artificial intelligence is to notice an event so vast as to not notice it would be not notice an event so vast, so significant, as to dwarf our discovery of fire, our invention of the wheel, and the domestication of agriculture. We may, without exaggeration, compare the evolution of AI, as it's called, to our evolution into Homo sapiens. I take up this subject with you this morning, though not to explore AI technology, but to prepare us for its advancement and consequences, and to urge us to reflect upon the spiritual questions it raises for us, because it challenges us to examine the very depths of our spiritual nature. Artificial intelligence, as many of us realize, especially in this last year, is developing faster than we had conceived. That is because AI is developing exponentially, that is, doubling every year. And our brains are wired customarily to think in terms of linear, incremental growth. To appreciate the power of doubling, imagine that one person trickles through the gate of Yankee Stadium at 11 a.m. on one Saturday. Every minute after, a double number of people come in, and this process continues. Suppose that it takes 59 minutes to fill the stadium half full, and the next minute, doubling will fill the entire stadium. The problem with not thinking exponentially is that we do not realize there is a problem until the last minute, and it is often too late then. Which is why Dr. Albert Bartlett, who is a professor emeritus of physics at the University of Colorado, has pronounced that the greatest shortcoming of the human race is our inability to understand and appreciate the exponential function. Engineers predict that in perhaps a dozen or more years, AI will surpass human intelligence. And that will not be a reason for AI to stop learning. And we will be highly unlikely to slow it down. Have we ever in our history been known to break a very powerful technology? We live, to some degree, innocently unprepared for a dramatic change in our future. Stuart Russell, he's a professor of computer science at UC Berkeley. He wrote the book that is most commonly used as a core AI text in today's university computer science courses. He writes, "If a superior alien civilization sent us a text message saying, 'We'll arrive in a few decades,' would we reply, 'Okay, call us when you get here, we'll leave the lights on'?" Probably not, he writes, but this is more or less what's happening with AI. I myself first became connected to artificial intelligence work in about 50 years ago when I attended a conference at Unitarian Universalist Star Island on religion and science. And there, two speakers who came, one was from MIT, who is known as today as the grandfather of artificial intelligence, Marvin Minsky, and the other was Manfred Kleins, who coined the term cyborg. They presented their science at this conference in 1968, and since that time, I have watched almost all of their predictions come true. The more AI becomes incomprehensible to us and the way it learns, the more we will for sure try to catch up. No doubt we will try to enhance our brains through some form of implantation, chips or whatever, so we can understand what's happening with AI. But there will come a point when AI will attain escape velocity. It will develop to the point which is being referred to as a singularity, because no one knows exactly what will happen then. As our awareness of AI's growth grows more widespread, an increasing number of scientists are warning us against disaster, and probably you've heard a lot from Elon Musk, who has described AI as our greatest existential threat. He says, quote, "We are summoning the demon." And in acting on his words, too, he has donated $10 million to the Future of Life Institute, which is a global research institute focusing on preventing catastrophe. And then there's Stephen Hawking, that who predicted while he was alive that AI will be our biggest event in human history, and also, he says, might be our last. Bill Gates has said that he can't understand why people are not concerned. Worriers believe that the fundamental risk isn't that super intelligent machines will one day become hostile to us, the way they are usually pictured in movies such as The Terminator, but they will become indifferent. Nick Bostrom is a person who heads up a Future of Humanity Institute in Boston devoted to researching the possibilities of AI. Nick Bostrom reasons that, after all, we humans were not actively hostile toward the species we've extinguished over the millennia. We just found we didn't need them. I wonder, can we hope that machines that are more intelligent than us will treat us better than we who are more intelligent than animals have treated them? Or will we find ourselves subject to a kind of terrible karmic turn of events for what we have done to the creatures? To me, the most likely negative scenario is that unless we become more aware, we will increasingly and gradually perhaps become so dependent upon artificial intelligence, first for convenience and then for our very livelihood, that we will not want to unplug from superintelligence, even if we could. Think now of how uncomfortable many of us feel with a very small artificially intelligent device, our smartphone, and if we lose it, what it means to us. Steve Wozniak, who is the co-founder of Apple, offers a little mixed view of the future. He believes that we humans are destined to become the pets of super intelligent robots, but that actually this will be pretty good for us all because they will, he says, treat us with respect. The leading positive visionary of AI, and there is many, a lot, without a doubt, is Ray Kurzweil. Kurzweil is known by many people because he invented the first voice activation for the blind. And in 1999, President Clinton presented Kurzweil with the nation's highest honor for technological innovation. Google has appointed Kurzweil as its director of engineering that's in charge of developing machine, that is, artificial intelligence. Incidentally, Kurzweil grew up in a UU Sunday school and credits his scientific curiosity to the interesting intellectual discussions his parents held around the dinner table after the Sunday service. In 1999, Kurzweil wrote a book called The Age of Spiritual Machines, and he presented a series of sermons on this subject at the First Unitarian Church of San Diego. Kurzweil believes that AI will usher in a techno-utopia. He believes that technology will solve our human problems and that superintelligence will solve them all. By 2045, Kurzweil believes we will have shed the human form altogether and evolved into a vast intelligence that will be this second singularity, the first singularity being the Big Bang from which our universe emerged. He believes that what will happen will be that computers will link up with other colossal intelligences all across the universe and proceed to wake up all sensate matter in the universe to consciousness. But Kurzweil believes not only in technology for solving our human problems, but as our very spiritual destiny. He writes, "The freeing of our thinking from the severe limitations of its biological form may be regarded as an essential spiritual quest. We will be part of this very rapid explosion of intelligence and beauty and very rapid acceleration of our evolutionary process. And that, to me, is what God is. Evolution, I think, is a spiritual process because it moves us closer to what we have considered to be God." When Kurzweil talks about this vision, not surprisingly, he is sometimes asked, "Are we becoming God?" And he answers, "Not yet." It's important to understand and to really absorb that Kurzweil's vision is not just theoretical. NASA and Google have teamed up with Kurzweil and others to found what is called the Singularity University at Moffett Federal Airfield in California to actively pursue research towards this singularity. The advancement of AI is also the subset of a very rapidly growing human, or you might call it spiritual movement, called transhumanism. Have you heard many of you familiar with that term? You are mine. Under its umbrella, there are many other organizations. One is a religious organization called Way of the Future. It is founded by one Anthony Levandowski. He's a former executive at Uber. Its mission is, I'll quote from its mission statement, "To develop and promote the realization of a Godhead based on artificial intelligence, and through understanding and worship of this Godhead, to contribute to the betterment of society." Another is the Christian Transhumanist Association. There's even a Mormon Transhumanist Association, and there is a World Transhumanist Association as well. A former Buddhist monk, James Hughes, now heads that. Hughes attends the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Storrs, Connecticut, and he frequently speaks at UU congregations. In 2004, he helped found the Transhumanist Unitarian Universalist Network, which is affiliated with the UUA. Transhumanism, as you might guess, provokes more spiritual questions than we can hardly imagine. Here are just 11, and I'll read them all very quickly. First of all, what does it mean that the majority of AI engineers are libertarian white males? What does this imply for future AI programming? What does it mean to seek immortality, this being the goal of most transhumanists? To eliminate imperfection, another goal, to surmount all limits, to separate the mind from the body, to establish the highest of human values when we right now can't agree on very many of them. And who gets to adjudicate all these differences? And what about emotional intelligence? Since survival is such a basic human instinct, would our survival instinct need to be transcended by AI so that AI conceivably could sacrifice itself? And what does personal identity mean if we can fully know another person's complete data? Is technical salvation a code word for the rationality of domination? As a Unitarian Universalist Buddhist, I find the Buddhist teaching as interestingly congenial to the engineering aspect of artificial intelligence, but oppositional to the motivation behind it all. A Buddhist understands all of reality to be virtual anyway, an artificial construction that's built upon how we see it and how we pattern it. It could be converted into algorithms. But Buddhism also considers the transhumanist belief in the surpassability of all limits and the achievement of human perfection to be not only decidedly wrong, but to be the very source of our dissatisfaction rather than alleviation of it. The Buddha taught that craving itself for perfection and elimination of limits is what creates our suffering. As a Unitarian Universalist, I cherish love and compassion, which in a strange way would have no meaning if there was no one in trouble with it. What need would there be for heroism if there were no danger? It's a gift, I think, of our Jewish heritage to conceive of perfection as not possible. There's a joke. You may be ready for one. A Jewish mother stands with her little boy. She's standing at the edge of a beach, and suddenly a huge wave washes ashore and sweeps out to the ocean. And in desperation, the mother rushes to the water's edge, and she raises her arms to heaven. She cries out to God to save him. And almost immediately, another huge wave rises up and lands him safely ashore. And the mother looks at him, and then she again squints up at heaven, and she raises her arms and cries out, "But he had a hat!" This year, the Institute of Religion and Science held an anniversary of this first week of religion and science at Star Island. This year, the theme for the topic was Artificial Intelligence Turns Deep, Who's in Control? The announcement reads, this year, if we succeed in creating science fiction's conscious machine, what will be our duties to it, as well as its duties to us? 50 years ago, When I first became acquainted with the advancement of AI, every advance startled me and really scared me. Now I'm calmer. I look at the development of AI from a future time, not from the perspective of the singularity, for which I don't expect to be alive, and couldn't probably understand anyway if I was, but from this crossover point, maybe 11 plus years from now, when AI is predicted to surpass our human intelligence, and that likely, hopefully, will be within my remaining lifetime. From this vantage point now, I look at each particular technological step, the smartphone, avatar development in virtual reality, smart homes, robots, new prosthetic devices. There's a fellow in England who now has become the first cyborg. He has an antenna built in, and he's become a citizen of the British Empire because he had to be citizenship to get through customs, so he wouldn't adjust to this antenna as being a part of it. All of these steps I kind of see as graduated steps now towards this end goal. So each device I purchase for myself becomes a deep time for reflection, a time to ask, how does this device change me? And how does it alter my interaction with this world? I wonder, for example, will it feed my desire for more control, which I certainly have? Or will it condone my desire for convenience, which I know I have, and instant gratification as well? Or will it enable me to become more equanimous and to more generously and compassionately care for those in need? The expanding presence of AI challenges our personal and spiritual decision-making as nothing else has ever done. It requires us to answer the biggest spiritual question we have ever asked, which is, what does it mean to be human? It portends paradigmatic changes for our planet. And that these changes loom so large is perhaps why we have tend to shy away from the discussion of AI. In all of the issues of UU World I've read in the past 50 years, I've only seen two issues of which this is a feature article. And because of this overlooking, we must work now to bring it into all of our discussions. To do this can be a bit scary, because its consequences are indeed life-changing. So I believe we need to open up to discussion in community, where we can ask in fellowship with our fellow questioners questions that are on our minds, where we can share our personal reactions, our beliefs, our hopes, and our fears, and be supported by fellow UU explorers. And as intelligent and as intelligent and brave Unitarian Universalists, may we help bring prominent discussion of AI and the ethics that it engenders us to ask about into the area of our national discussion. There are a few engineers who have left Google to focus on such questions. One is Nick Soares. He serves now as executive director of the Machine Intelligence Research Institute in Berkeley, California. But Soares bemoans the fact that, in his words, there are thousands of person years and billions of dollars being poured into the project of developing AI, and there are fewer than 10 people in the world right now working full-time on safety, four of them at my institute. We need to do a lot more. As a world, we bumble into climate change. We were warned 25 years ago that by more than 1,500 prominent scientists, including half of the living Nobel laureates, who issued a warning to humanity that there was danger coming, but we did not listen to those voices that we didn't want to hear. Let us be different. Let us prepare for a future of AI whose significance will be untold different, more different. Let us open to the possibilities that may arise, we don't know, of spiritual growth unlike any to which we have ever been previously exposed. And let us take the advantage of a window of opportunity to examine the shadow side of AI, and in the meantime to shape our future today with charity and compassion, so that if the AI is indeed learning from what we humans put in, that will be input also, so that we may contribute towards a coming humanity and to our own personal future with finesse, with courage, with equanimity, and with a lot of love.